21 before the hour on America in the Morning. Dr. Murray Sabrin is a retired professor of finance, prolific author, and former nominee for governor of New Jersey. My guest takes exception with hearing America is a two-party political system, as he believes there is room for a third. Dr. Sabrin, you claim libertarianism can save America.
Absolutely, John. The libertarian philosophy is right there in the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. Politicians in Washington, D.C. just adhere to the principles that the founders established for this country. All our problems would be solved, or at least most of them, based upon good economics, good foreign policy of non-interventionist George Washington laid down in his farewell address, and all the other things that philosophers and some politicians over the past 225 years have stated. We need limited government.
Now, the basic pretext of the party, libertarian, is that some sort of compromise between, like, a middle of the road between Democrat and Republican?
Well, not really. The Libertarian Party is based upon the fundamental philosophy of do no harm, commit no aggression against peaceful individuals. Leonard Reed, the founder of the Foundation for Economic Education, had a wonderful book called Anything That's Peaceful. That's the libertarian philosophy. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And if everyone follows that principle, we would be in much better shape than we are today.
Yeah. All right. You're a former professor of finance. America's in an inflationary growth period. A recession looms. Prices are out of control. Stocks are dying. Does the Federal Reserve hinder capitalism?
The Federal Reserve is the most destructive institution for the economy because it creates money, manipulates interest rates. That sets into motion the boom-bust cycle, as I outline in my book, Navigating the Boom-Bust Cycle. If we didn't have the Federal Reserve, then interest rates would be set by the marketplace, by supply and demand, and you wouldn't have this manipulation that causes these unsustainable booms. And then we need a recession to cleanse out all the distortions that the Federal Reserve creates by their easy money policies.
How would the Libertarian Party handle, say, for instance, the Russia-Ukraine war?
Well, I think it's very simple. That's a regional conflict. That's a regional dispute between Russia and Ukraine, and let them settle it on their own terms. So this way there'll be peace in the region, and there's no reason to extend this by NATO nations supplying military equipment to Ukraine.
Yeah, or at least all the money that's going there, right?
There's no question, and we know Ukraine is one of the most corrupt governments in the world, so why are we supporting a corrupt government that has Nazi overtones in it?
Back here at home, if a libertarian were president, what would change on, say, immigration?
Well, this is an interesting issue on immigration. There are very different viewpoints on immigration in the libertarian camp. I, for one, believe as an immigrant that people should have a sponsor coming to America like we did in 1949. Mm. This way, there would be a very systematic and a humane way of coming to this country, getting a sponsor who would be responsible for you so you can get up on your own two feet. What we have now at the southern border is a total disgrace. It's a humanitarian disaster. People are dying trying to get here.
You were a college professor for 40 years, and many fear that college campuses are basically the new breeding ground to create socialists.
Interesting enough, I taught in the business school, so there wasn't much political activity in the business school, but I've had students who've taken courses in outside the business school. They've told me their professors were infatuated with socialism, and one student from a Middle Eastern country said to the professor in class, so he told this to class to me and other students, I stood up to the professor and said, I lived in a socialist country. I know what socialism is all about, so don't tell me socialism is good for America.
Are you currently still, do you do any teaching at all now?
No, I retired 2 years ago after 35 years teaching finance, and one of my favorite courses was the financial history of the United States, which I think is probably one of the most important contributions I made in my teaching career.
You say the financial history of the United States from colonialism forward?
Absolutely. How the Continental was destroyed by the printing money by the Continental Congress all the way through the first panic of 1819, through the boom-bust cycles throughout the 19th century, the creation of the Federal Reserve, the Great Depression, and the dot-com and housing bubble burst. And now we're in what people have called the everything bubble, which we see all around us.
Is this course something we can take online?
Well, no, I'm hoping to make it available online. Okay. I think it'll be an interesting thing to do because people are just ignorant of their own country's history, especially from the financial perspective, because the roots of our problem date back over 200 years when the central government under Hamilton tried to establish a central bank. It failed. And now that was resurrected with the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913. And since then, their mission in 1913 has been totally non-accomplished. stabilize the value of the dollar, which hasn't happened, smooth out the business cycle, which hasn't happened. The only thing they've done is be the lender of last resort, bailing out banks that have gotten into financial trouble because they overextended themselves.
Noted author, columnist, and I might add his parents, Holocaust survivors, Ramapo Professor Emeritus Dr. Murray Sabrin.